It feels like yesterday when our beautiful sanctuary was all decorated for Christmas and we were celebrating and we had the candles and the Advent candles and old and new came and can you believe it that Epiphany is past us now and we are already entering a new season of Lent and Easter. Things are changing and the worship team and I have been working for quite some time now, and we are already deep into Lent. And today we're going to read something about the final discussions that Jesus had with his followers. And just a few days from now, next week, will be Transfiguration Sunday, where we will recall that wonderful meeting on the mountain where Jesus and some of his followers went up to the mountain. And the 25th of February is Ash Wednesday, and there we go, Lent, and not long, and it will be Easter again. So one would wonder, what did Jesus talk about during these very difficult final days before the arrest and the crucifixion? That's not easy, and to me it's become very personal while working with this text, because we know people, all of us, who we know that has a serious illness and will not be with us for long. I have that experience with my brother-in-law in South Africa right now, and we speak about daily, and we can hear every day the voice is getting weaker and weaker, and we just know there's no turnaround with the cancer. And you might think, well, you've been a minister for decades. What do you say to somebody like that? You should know, well, friends, the truth is I don't. And ask any minister. You never really know what to say. And something of that scene was taking place in John 14. Jesus was talking about the horrible things that were about to happen. And he was telling them that our time together is past. And what would you say in Jesus' place if you could? Let's read John 14:23. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I've said these things to you while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I'm coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I am. Now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." Here ends our scripture reading, and may the reading of the Bible this morning have some significance for us as we enter this period of Lent. Yesterday was also a special day. It was Valentine's Day, and let me tell you, don't be confused, Valentine is not a Christian holiday. It's not a Christian vacation day, and it's certainly not meant to be celebrated in worship. But somehow there is a connection, because It is the season, it is the time when we turn to people most near and dear to us, and when we assure them that we love them, that we tell them something that comes from the heart. So it is the season to talk about these things, as Jesus was talking to those who would soon be separated from him by horrible circumstances. But talking about relationships, there are many stories about relationships between people. I even heard a story reaching back to Adam and Eve. Somebody said that Eve never argued with Adam, but at night while Adam was sleeping, she made sure to count his ribs. A certain woman on her deathbed turned to her husband and gave him some final instructions. And amongst others, she said, "Earl, after I'm gone, I want you to find someone else to love." "Okay, well," Earl answered, "if you say so, dear, I will." And then she continued, she said, "She can have all my jewelry if she wants." Earl thought, "Where is this heading?" And he said, "All right, dear, that's fine." But the woman went on, she said, "She can also have all my clothes." "Oh, no, that won't work, dear," Earl said. "She's a size 10 and you're a size 14. The Gospel, according to John, describes one of the final discussions between Jesus and his followers. The setting was intimate. The writing was already on the wall. And at that time, the disciples were talking. Yes, they were talking about their fears, about their uncertainties, and they were upset and they were unhappy. But Jesus was different. Jesus was talking not about fears and the horrible things that was going to happen. Jesus was talking in this intimate discussion with his best friends about his love and his concern for them. And for all of us today, we understand. And at that time, Jesus said to them, even in the shadow of the cross, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Wow, did you get that? Did you get that? In the shadow of the cross, Jesus promises to all who know and love him, he said, no matter what, even when the world turns pitch black dark, even if your world turns somber and unsure, then the peace of mind and heart that Jesus gives will always, always be with us. That changes everything. People with peace of mind and heart. I'm not going to point to them, but I know so many of them sitting in this church in the choir loft on the balcony this morning. People who have that peace of mind and heart. And we all know people and we recognize people when we see them. There is something different about them. When you start communicating them with them, when you talk to them, you discover but they are marching with a different drummer. They are somewhat different. There is peace. And the way that they look at you and the way that they speak with you speaks of assurance, of the absence of fear, even under the most dire circumstances. And that is so close to to the heart of our faith, what you believe and what I believe. The Bible says that Jesus gives an inner peace and a blessed assurance that would reside within us, so that our lives can be changed, so that we can live life, so that we can learn how to deal with one another, and that we can even endure the darkest night, hardship, without ever fearing, without ever losing hope. Even in the worst hurricane of our lives, there is always a rainbow of hope. Oh, I've seen that peace of mind and heart so evident on the faces of God's children, even while entering the dark valley of death. Have you seen that? Do you know people like that? Are you a person like that? Or are you wondering, what's this guy trying to get at? Do you think, well, this is typical religious jargon and nothing else? That's what he's supposed to say. That's his job. Friends, no. That's not the case. If you do not get it, when we talk about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then it may be time that you think seriously about your relationship, your personal relationship with God. Because this is a simple but powerful truth. When you and I have made peace with God, then Jesus provides us with a sure and a solid foundation of peace for mind and heart. And it's only then that we begin to learn how to really deal with all our human relationships. If there is something wrong between you and your God, then there is everything wrong with your relationship with yourself and with people around you. And I know that in this busy world of ours, many are seeking that kind of peace. I meet with them, you meet with them. People who do not know peace. People who are eternally unhappy and always somber. We know them. And we do have a message for them. God makes a difference. And if God is not yet making a difference in your life, don't blame God. Blame yourself. While speaking about peace of mind and heart, I know that especially for younger people, people with young children, if you talk about your home and peace and love, that these words don't always go together for them. I heard the story of two men who didn't know each other so well, and one day they were talking about the big problems in the world, the financial downturn, the high taxes, the cost of living, and finally their discussion turned a little bit and they start talking about their families. And the one of them said proudly, "Well, I have three children, all of them boys." Proud to say that. "Oh, you got a nice family," sighed the other man. "I wish to heaven I had three children." "What? Don't you have any children?" the proud father asked with sympathy in his voice. "Oh, yes," sighed the second man. "I have six." We know, dear grandparents, when the kids are coming, you reach out, you run through the house, and you put certain things a bit higher than you normally do. We know what a difference it can make. But what a joy for the peace that we do have. The people that we may love and that we can love. You may ask, how can one find peace, true peace in the home? Because some of you are living troubled lives. Some of you are suffering under relationships. Some of you are a problem for other people. Some of us are, and we have to face facts. So the question remains, how can we strengthen the precious ties that bind us as husbands and wives, as parents and children, as friends? Peace begins with a mutual understanding and creating room for each other. Because there is one true fact about being human, and that is that you and I and all of us need appreciation. We need to feel accepted, and we need to know that we are loved. So some of us are looking around, saying, now there's nobody out there appreciating me. People don't accept me. I don't feel that anybody really loves me. Then you make the typical error. To find these things, you have to realize it seldom begins from the other side. It begins with us. It begins with you. It begins with me. We have to learn how to show our appreciation, our acceptance, and our love. And when we do that, and I challenge you to do that, if you're not already doing so, and you will discover how warmly and sincerely other people respond. Sometimes you just have to reach out and touch somebody in their loneliness, and you will be rewarded over and over again when people discover that you know peace, that you have that deep calmness deep inside yourself, and when they discover that you know the source of love, that you are in communication with God, and that God is speaking in you and through you, and then you will find that every single relationship in your life will change. We all need to feel wanted, appreciate it. And just a few words of kindness can make someone's day. And we find peace in our homes and our lives when we begin to make time to appreciate, to love, and to recognize those around us. They say that love is blind. Well, that could be true, because when you learn to love somebody, it's just amazing how your sight changes. You just don't see the errors. You just don't see the shortcomings. You're not so aware of the things that usually anger you. Yeah, love turns you blind, and that's a wonderful type of blindness. Many of us have discovered the truth. And many of us still cherish the old Cliff Richard song, when the girl in your arms is the girl in your heart, then you have everything. So hold her tight and never let her go, day and night. Oh, there is nothing, no substitute for love and romance in every marriage. Neither for the constant and conscious showing of affection to one another. And most of us, if not all of us, crave it, whether we are able to admit it or not. And our children need to experience our acceptance and our love and our understanding. They need our outward displays of affection as well. And we never outgrow that need. No one is ever too old to be held tight and to be loved. What makes a couple one flesh when they marry is not only flesh, but it is also spirit. It is an act of commitment. We become truly one, not only when our spirits unite, but also when the peace of mind and heart that only Christ can give are part of our lives and part of our love and part of our devotion for one another. There is not a relationship in your life that will not blossom when you become conscious of God's presence. When we have made the peace of mind and heart that Christ gives part of our innermost selves, it takes root. It becomes part of us. It becomes part of our personalities. And we later find that we cannot change anymore. And that remains true in whatever relationship we are with other people. Then our friendship and love become sincere and real. And people can sense that. If people say, "How are you doing?" and they don't even wait to hear your answer, then you know something amiss there. Then our friendship and love becomes part of our most precious possessions. There is not a relationship that will not blossom with stability and peace, love and laughter. It happened some time ago. It touched me and it changed me in certain ways in this very church. A couple, not members of our church, came and asked if I would perform their renewal ceremony. Two young people said, "Renewal ceremony of your marriage?" Yes, they're going to have a big wedding and a beautiful following and so on. And we talked about it. And then they explained to me that they are actually already married and they've been married for a certain period of time. But it was a hasty marriage. They got married because he got instructions to go to Iraq in the war. And he left, and so they decided whatever they do, they just want to get married and they'll have the celebration later. So they came right here to renew their wedding vows after he returned from Iraq. And he came in his beautiful uniform and he handed me the words that he wanted to say as part of his vows. And he said, "Pastor, I wrote them while I was in Iraq, when I wasn't sure that I would ever see my wife again." This is what he wrote. I still have the note. "No one has ever made me feel as loved as you do, nor has anyone ever taken my breath away as you do. Every time I look into your eyes, I love you with every beat of my heart and with every cell in my body. I will stand up and defend you until my last breath." And then he added, "Have this ring as a token of my never-ending love for you." And then I understood. He was in a merciless war zone, maybe in a foxhole, and there, under the direst of circumstances, our young soldier friend discovered the deepest meaning, the value of true love, of a lasting relationship. But isn't that exactly what we were talking about this morning? Doesn't it remind you of the love that Jesus Christ proclaimed for us, for all creation, for humanity just before Calvary? That is why he said, I am leaving you with a gift. And that gift is peace of mind and heart. And when Jesus comes into our lives, then our hearts and our minds are touched and they are changed, and our life is never the same again. Jesus said, the peace that I give is not fragile like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled. Whatever is happening, don't be afraid. And it's then that I made the discovery. My, oh my, all of us, you and I, all of us are God's valentines after all. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our God, your valentines are before you, your children. And we've come to talk with you and not about you. We are your people. And we want to thank you for still loving us. And thank you for all our experiences of your love. You've never turned your back on us. So many times you've been the Samaritan binding up our broken hearts and lives. So we want to pray, give us your people the vision and the willingness to be your ambassadors in this world. Teach us and lead us and guide us to do unto others as you have done unto us. We seek your guidance as we seek and struggle for peace and reconciliation in our own lives. Help us to be the first to attempt reconciliation with those estranged from us. For we may have been unkind, uncompassionate, selfish, stubborn, and unchristian. Help us not to be afraid to apologize, to ask forgiveness, and to come to an understanding, even if we may be in the right. We are reconciled to you through Jesus Christ. Help us now to be reconciled to others through the example of Christ. You have so fashioned the world that it possesses the potential to repair its imperfections. O Eternal One, you have fashioned humankind by endowing us as your partners with the creative ability to help the repairing. You gave us the insight to transform the simple herb into a healing balm for the body. Now help us as your servants to accept our responsibility to transform the herb of human caring into a healing balm for the aching souls of our neighbors. We know the inner yearning for fulfillment, for purpose, and for meaning in our lives. Guide us, O God, to muster the strength, the will, the dedication, and the commitment to serve you by bringing about your reign in our midst. Hear our prayer. We pray with thanksgiving in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our friend, our Lord. Amen.